are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And before I get to today's guest, I want to give a shout-out of congratulations to my wonderful girlfriend, Emily, and her family. Her son and daughter-in-law just had a baby girl this morning, and I went and saw it this morning, and healthy, happy, and so it's always good to start a show with something like that. Anyway, that's taken care of, and on the air with me calling in is Bernadette Wilson, gubernatorial candidate. Bernadette, how you doing?
Good. It's great to be with you. Congratulations on the baby girl. A reminder that we do indeed have slices and glimpses of heaven right here on earth.
You know, it choked me up. You know, Emily gave me a call all, you know, going wonderfully happy nuts on the phone and couldn't get over there until her lunch hour. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't stop me. So me being me, I go over there and, yeah, to meet Marianne, and they take a photo of me and I send it to Emily. Hey, wish you were here, you know. Actually, I said she's a keeper. I didn't say wish you were here. I said she's a keeper.
Oh, you got, woo, boy. Is this her first grandbaby?
Or it's her fourth.
Oh, fourth. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But the first one on her son's side, yeah.
Okay. Wow. And you got over there first.
They're special people.
It's
just something I can do. So I'm very fortunate in life, Bernadette. You know, I have a fairly open schedule being a real estate broker. And this is why I work for myself, because I can do that. I enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to do that. I work a lot of hours, but, you know, when I want to take a half hour to an hour and go see a new person in this world, I get to do that. So.
Oh, well, congratulations
to
all of you. That is very exciting.
Yeah.
Nothing like having a new baby in the family.
How's your campaign going?
Oh, it's going great. You know, 7 independent polls now, independent, not conducted by the campaign, by our campaign, 7 independent polls, a race to the White House forecast, which, by the way, since 2021, race to the White House has accurately predicted 48 out of 50 governor's races.
Wow.
They have forecast us as the winner in this race. Cook Political says that we are the GOP candidate to watch. The campaign is going incredibly well. And shout out to all of the volunteers and all of the supporters across the state, including up there in the interior, who are busting their butts day in and day out. That is a testament to the work that they are putting in, and their voices are indeed being heard. And I could not be more proud.
You know what I'm proud of? The group of you, all the Republicans, on how you treat each other.
Yeah.
You know, I saw photos of you and Adam Crum hamming it up at the Republican convention. And it was great to see. You know, of course, there's differences, but there's no dispirited meanness. You know, you're talking the issues and your differences, nothing personal, personalities. And to tell you the truth, I think there's 15 Republicans, and I take any of the Republicans over any of the socialist Democrats. Simple as that.
There's definitely a strong contrast in personalities. There's a strong contrast in approach, and there's a strong contrast in resumes, right?
Yeah.
And so the conversation is coming up is, what resume do you think can get the job done, right? What personality do you think can get the job done? But it is, at the end of the day, an agreement that we all agree that we've got to do something about education.
Yeah.
We all agree that we've got to get the energy costs in this state lowered, that we've got to get development going. I mean, you have a very general consensus on these things, and we know, unified, we know that the Democrats do not share that. If it were up to a Democrat to get into the governor's seat, they would absolutely like to shut down industry in this state, hands down. They would like to see us turn into a socialist. They have socialist state. They have no problem at all with keeping these kids, you know, keeping the education bureaucrats, keeping their thumb on the scale when it comes to that issue. And they'd love to see a sales tax, an income tax, an increase on the Hill Corp tax, and they'd love to have your permanent fund. And so we know that.
Yeah. You know, there's a... I thought strategically the way to rectify a lot of things for the Republican Party is to, this November, take out ranked choice voting first. That's where you start. When you take out ranked choice voting, people like Kathy Geisel will be retired again. She will not survive a primary like she did last time. And you can, you know, she is such an impediment to what's going on down there for the natural resources in the Senate, getting a gas bill in there, getting it through. And like you said, all they're doing is talking about taxes and user fees. Well, guess what, world? That's put on the users, the people buying the gas, us Alaskans.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I will say this, you know, you bring up ranked choice voting, and I want people to know this. I absolutely do not support ranked choice voting. In fact, I'm one of the three sponsors right now with the state of Alaska to get rid of ranked choice voting.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is critical. It's mission critical. My running mate and I, former state senator Mike Schauer, you know, retired in the Air Force, great guy. We made the decision early. In fact, the day that I announced, which was a year ago, 2 days ago, when I got into this race, I was one of the very first ones in this race. And I said immediately that day that if in that primary in August, Republicans pick a different candidate as their top person, that we will support whomever that person is, and we will not go forward to that November election.
Yeah.
It is incredibly important that we unify behind one candidate. And do you know that still to date?
You're the only one still.
I'm the only one still that has made that commitment. There is no scenario that you can give me, not one, not a single one, where it makes sense to have multiple Republicans on the ballot. And I find it interesting those who say, I don't support ranked choice voting, but I think it might make sense to have
Yeah. I'm trying to come in second or third in the general. So when people start dropping off, I might be the governor.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, I've heard this argument, but what if the Republican gets out and then it bumps up a Democrat? We did that in 2024. Nancy Dahlstrom got out of the
and we got Nick Begich. She did something incredible. She might not be one of the final four in the gubernatorial race, but I so respect that lady now. I really do.
She did. You got to hand it to her. We would not have Nick Begich as our congressman if it were not for Nancy Dahlstrom taking the high road on that. You got to give her the credit for that. She put her own ego aside and said, I'm going to do what is best for Alaska. That is critical. To not just winning the governor's seat, by the way. Yes, you want to win the governor's seat. This is true. But I hear people say, you know, well, how do we keep it in Republican hands? The reality is it's not just about keeping it in Republican hands. That's a very low bar.
Yeah.
Not only do you want to keep it in Republican hands, but you need to send your governor to Juneau with the strongest mandate possible. Because you look at this legislature right now, more Republicans than Democrats, but Democrats control the legislature. They are attempting to manhandle the governor. It is critical that you send your governor in with a strong mandate, and you cannot afford to lose even 0.2% of the vote or 0.3% of the vote. You can't do it. You can't afford to do that.
Very true. We're going to take a quick commercial break, okay? and Fairbanks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Gold is at an all-time high, and Gold Buyers of Alaska wants your gold and silver. Got gold nuggets, bullion, or jewelry collecting dust? Turn them into cash today. If you're looking to sell your gold, platinum, or even a Rolex, Gold Buyers of Alaska would love to talk to you. And coin collectors, they want to hear from you too. Call for an appointment at 907-479-4653 or stop by at 915 30th Avenue. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail.
Dearest Mother, spring seems to have sprung, but that is not why I'm writing you this fine day. I recently discovered the seafood portion at Brewster's. I ordered the deep-fried Alaska halibut. Mother, I truly do fancy them. The halibut chunks were large, tasty, and crispy. Brewster's also has stuffed Southwest shrimp. I haven't even mentioned the halibut tacos yet. Mother, I know Brewster's sounds fancy, but you don't have to wear your glad rags. I cannot wait to come back to Brewster's. Your beloved son, Henry.
Slip into the brand new Bridgestone Dueler ATSN All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Elevate your year-round driving experience. Bridgestone Dueler ATSN delivers uncompromising traction through snow, ice, water, and gravel. Whatever Alaska's roads throw your way, the Bridgestone Dueler ATSN is designed to dominate off-road performance on your light truck, SUV, and CUV while offering a remarkably quiet ride for your everyday driving. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
It's a good time for a break, and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 62 today under mainly sunny skies. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 41 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 65 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bernadette Wilson on the phone with me. Bernadette, I have a phone call coming in. You ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor of the state of Alaska, and your name is?
Brandy, and I just wanted to ask something about the gas line proposal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. And you, Bernadette, you may disagree with me, and that is okay. That's perfectly okay, but I want to get your thoughts on my perception. Yesterday, I was watching Gavel Alaska on 9.9 TV about the legislation, what they're doing, and I saw something. They were talking about the gas line and HB 281 or whatever it is. And there's a thing in there that says that in order to get a tax break of some sort, that they must have a Fairbanks spur line built into the whole project. And I'm totally against that. Even though I'm a Fairbanksan who desperately wants gas, I feel that any tiny burden, extra burden placed on that gas line proposal is going to kill the proposal. And I would rather have a gas line 35 miles away in Enana than none at all. And just wanted to get your thoughts on the Fairbanks spur line part of the gas line.
Randy, thank you for the phone call, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so two things. First thing is, I absolutely support the spur line. I want to be very clear about that. Manipulating a company's investments and continuing to treat them as though they are the enemy needs to end. It's incredible to me that we take these legislators and they get down to Juneau with such an ego and an arrogance. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about the gas line. It doesn't matter if we are talking about Hillcorp. The reality is this. We need to completely shift our attitude and our perception of these companies. These companies are our business partners. We're business partners. And we can talk all day about the value that we have in our gas and how we are, a mineral-rich state, and we have X amount of minerals and gold, and you know how rich we are. It has zero net value if you don't have someone who wants to come in and partner with you and help you get it to market and get it up out of the ground. The oil has zero value to you buried underneath the ground.
And this might be the legislature that will always be known as a legislature that stopped the gas line. Very sad.
It is. It's very sad. And like I say, these are our business partners.
Yeah.
And you know, last I checked, I don't see a whole lot of people lining up. I mean, unless there's 30 bids out on a gas line and people clobbering to it, I got to be honest, we don't particularly have the upper hand in getting it developed because we've got such a bad reputation for treating our business partners terrible and for attempting to change the terms of the deal after we come to a negotiation. What this legislature is doing, and very specifically some Republicans, by the way, Republicans,
yeah,
that's important, Republicans that are getting in the way of this gas line.
Oh, you mean like Senator Kathy Geisel?
Oh, bingo.
I'll name names.
Yeah, if you can even call her a Republican anymore. But that burden comes back to Republicans in her district. It goes back to the district chairs, to the constituents there, to say, you know what?
No, primary her. Get rid of those ranked choice voting. Yeah. Primary her, get her out.
Absolutely. So getting rid of ranked choice is a big component of that. Putting forward a solid candidate is a big component of that. And the other thing I'll say is this, and I think that this is critical for an incoming governor. The incoming governor has to come in and be ready to do battle with the legislature.
And yeah.
What I'll say on this, and there's two different schools of thought on the Republican primary, and some people believe that, you know what, we really got to work across party lines. We got to just get together. We can't be going after other Republicans. You can't have the infighting. We just need to have another cocktail. We just need another cup of coffee. I have a different mentality. My response to that is this. We tried it that way for 10, 20, and 30 years. Are you better off today than you were decades ago? You're not. We tried it that way. Now it's time for a governor to come in, disrupt the system. It doesn't need to be chaotic, but it does need to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that it's time for a governor to go into those Republican districts and look at those Republican legislators and say, here's the thing. You are not going to support this gas line because you think that that's what your constituents want. Is that really what you think they want? You really think your constituents don't want you to pay out a statutory formula permanent fund dividend? Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go into your district and we're going to go spend some money via a super PAC or an independent expenditure. We are going to have a nice, healthy, robust conversation to see if that is indeed what your district wants. But we have this phenomenon going on across the state, and you see this a lot in education as well. You know, people across the state know that we are at the bottom in education.
Very bottom, yeah.
Very bottom, 48th, 49th, 51st, and 4th and 8th grade reading and math. But more times than not, people will say, but it's not my child's school. It's not my child's principal or teacher that's the problem. It's not my kid's school. That's all the other ones. We have the same thing with legislators. People, hands down, that are frustrated, give the gas line as one, right? They'll all look at each other and wring their hands. Constituents will, Alaskans will, and say, my gosh, we don't have a gas line. But we need to start connecting the dots is to, by the way, did you know it was your legislator that did that? Do you know it was your legislator that blocked a permanent fund or blocked a gas line or said that they were going to go after Hillcorp again, whatever
yeah.
it is?
You know, I'm very embarrassed by some of our Fairbanks legislators, to tell you the truth, on what they've done. You know, we have Ashley Carrick. She's trying to strip ADA of powers, make sure anything they do over $5 million, the legislature must approve. Now, ponder that.
Yeah, so again, you have a bunch of legislators so incredibly arrogant.
And incompetent.
And incompetent, yes. But they believe that they have everything that they need to make all these decisions. And, you know, it's been interesting even in the governor's race. You know, I am the one candidate in this race that has never worked for government. Okay. I own a garbage company. I come from the private sector side. And so people have to decide, is it the experienced politician that they want, or is it time for someone from the outside to come in and shake it up? But I hear experienced politicians all the time say, well, I'm the one that has the experience. I'm the one that has the experience at this level or that level, and elect me and elect me. And I'm looking at it saying, well, first of all, your experience has failed us. Let's just keep that in mind. But the second thing is the audacity of some of these individuals to run for governor and then look at a room full of, let's say, oil executives and business owners and say, I'm more qualified because I've been in government. You're more qualified than the people who live and breathe and understand firsthand the implication, the regulations and the taxes that you're going to impose on them, but they're not qualified to make those decisions, but you are. It is shocking to me, absolutely shocking. The experience has failed us miserably.
You know, as an elected official, my mantra when looking at policy was always what the first thing that they say to the medical association, do no harm. Do no harm. Mm-hmm. And yet you have people down there that for whatever reason, they want to do harm. Sadly,
well,
so.
Well, and I think some of it is a power trip. They yeah. make feeling as though they are in control and they're the ones that can do it. But there's so much that's going on there. And, you know, I've talked about this, the importance of, you know, on the budget conversation, the importance of auditing our finances.
Yeah.
But also the importance of auditing the bureaucracy itself. Because you have so many legislators and department heads and different people within departments that get down there, and it's almost as though they pride themselves on having the power trip and feeling like, well, I can block this or I can do that. If it's not arrogance and power and incompetence.
Yeah. Try getting anything past Wilikowski, very fervent, extreme liberal Democrat in the Senate, who's, you know, in charge of everything that comes to the floor of the Senate. Try getting anything past that person that the governor favors.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an issue. And again, you know, when you look at leadership.
And like you said, why are we being polite now? They are not polite.
Yeah. Well, and I hear all the time, well, we got to get along, but it's constantly Republicans that are, you know, kind of heeding and giving way.
Yeah, genteel. Yeah.
The Democrats.
Yeah.
It is. It's not going both ways. And, you know, there's a debate over, well, gosh, you know, is that too aggressive? Is that divisive? Okay. And you've heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it divisive? And I remind people, If there's a question about who is being divisive, what we have to look at is who is pulling us away from our conservative ideals and from American excellence and independence. And who is, it's the person that's pulling us away from that. That's who's being divisive. You know, when you look at Kelly Schiavacca, Lisa Murkowski, look at that race. Was Kelly Schiavacca being divisive because she called out and ran against Lisa Murkowski?
No, not at all.
Was Lisa Murkowski being divisive because she abandoned her party values? I would argue that Lisa was being divisive, not Kelly.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with these legislators. The ones who are going against the Republican governor, okay, we saw this yesterday with the confirmation vote of the attorney general.
Yeah.
The legislators that are voting against the governor, those are the ones that are being divisive.
Bernadette, we're going to come back to that after our break, okay? Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. Going to give you a few seconds of bumper music from the Foo Fighters. Then we have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And we will be back with Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor, state of Alaska.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump's on the way back to the United States, wrapping up his visit to China, meeting with their President Xi Jinping. Speaking aboard Air Force One to reporters, President Trump was asked if the two talked about lifting sanctions on Chinese companies who buy Iranian oil.
Well, we talked about that, and I'm going to make a decision over the next few days. We did talk about that.
The sounds courtesy of White House video. China stopped buying U.S. oil last May after imposing a 20% tariff on U.S. crude oil during this trade war. The World Health Organization with an update on a hantavirus outbreak that impacted a cruise ship. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says as of today, there are a total of 10 cases been reported, including 3 deaths, but no need to panic, he says.
WHO repeats that the risk from this event to the global population is low.
In the United States, the CDC says there's no known cases of the hantavirus. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTOO reports the Alaska legislature has voted to mandate a 3-step disaster evacuation scale for use statewide, a move inspired in part by a miscommunication in a wildfire near Denali National Park. The State House voted 39-1 to pass Senate Bill 192 and require that state and local officials use the terms ready, set, and go, defined on maps by the colors green, yellow, and red, when providing public information about evacuations from the path of a disaster. People in a ready area should begin packing for an evacuation and preparing their homes or property. Those in a set area should be prepared to leave quickly, and those in a go area should evacuate immediately. The Senate passed the bill 19-0 on April 24th. The House's action sends SB 192 to Governor Mike Dunleavy for final approval or veto. The ready, set, go system is already in broad use within Alaska, but not universally.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
2026 is now in full swing, and Fairbanks Urology, that means an 8-year anniversary of open doors and exceptional patient care. Fairbanks Urology, offering specialized care for men and women, and they're always ready to partner for an improved you. Even better, referrals aren't necessary. Appointments can be scheduled without a long wait. Fairbanks Urology, 1211 Cushman Street, right across from the City of Fairbanks Fire Station. Find them online at fairbanksurology.com. Stop by and meet the team.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Got Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor, state of Alaska, calling in. If you want to give a call to her, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And we were talking about the legislature's close vote to turn down the attorney general candidate by our governor.
How incredibly disappointing.
You know, let's just, it's sort of, have you no values or decorum, legislature? You know, he's been there now for 6-8 months, and he's going to be there for another, if certified, he's going to be there for another, 6 months. He works at the direction of the governor. And some of you said, you didn't like the things that he involved Alaska in, and that's at the direction of the governor, or voting against him, rather. was from the Democratic Party, and she really didn't fit or was in the state long enough to even be a candidate. But she had the intent of maybe moving here. You know, when she visited, and she was up here for about 3 months, and she runs for state house and wins as a Democrat. Now, come on, legislature.
And not only that, but legislators and across both aisles, okay, including some of those Republicans that opposed the governor yesterday, they need to go back and they need to really study up on the intent of a confirmation vote.
Yeah.
The intent of the confirmation vote was never to see if we had your stamp of approval on what cases the attorney general was engaging in or who the attorney general had hired. That's a bunch of crap. The reason that we went through that confirmation process was so that if a legislator had a concern, a values concern, if there was an integrity concern, there was the opportunity to put it on the record and to have the public aware of it and knowledgeable of it. It was never meant for you to block the governor from having the cabinet of his choice. And more we see them manipulating the confirmation process to attempt to manipulate whom the governor can have as part of their cabinet. That was Dave, that was never the intention of this, ever.
True. You ready for a phone call?
I'm absolutely ready.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor, state of Alaska. And your name is?
This is Charles, Dave. I actually agree that mess in the Senate was bad because they don't understand at all what the 14th Amendment really is. And, you know, that's about all I can really say without getting everybody all upset about it. But they don't know anything about what they were saying. They sounded really, really stupid and irrelevant.
They sounded very bipartisan, mean, and uneducated. Charles, thank you for the phone call. You have a great weekend, buddy. Appreciate it.
So there was a legislator who made the comment that one of the things that made them uncomfortable was that they didn't feel as though Stephen Cox, right, the attorney general, the hopeful nominee appointment mm-hmm. that we're discussing here, it made them uncomfortable that he hadn't been in Alaska enough years, okay? I think he's been here 3 or 4 years, I think 4 years or something, okay, whatever it is. But the irony of that is that legislator only got here 3 or 4 years before that.
Yeah, I know.
So that's not your prerogative for you to go and say, well, I just don't think you've lived here long enough. That is not what the confirmation process was supposed to be. And, you know, we talk about the importance of having Alaska studies classes in our high schools and in our elementary schools and the need for our students to understand kind of the pride and the heritage of Alaska. I'll tell you what, our legislators ought to be mandated that before you go and you swear in as a legislator, the moment you get elected, you go take a history class on why and what is that confirmation process supposed to look like, right? Why is this in place? Why is it that we have the strongest governor in the country? How did we land at that decision? How did we get here? Why is it that the attorney general is appointed by the governor and not elected?
Exactly.
You go back to the foundation of our state. There were reasons for that. We came in as the 49th state. When we crafted our state constitution, we had the ability and the time, people much smarter, quite frankly, than any of us, that went ahead and said, okay, here's what other states have done. Here's what hasn't worked. Here's what has worked. And by the way, we understood the heavy hand of the federal government because we had been a territory for so long. There was a lot of wisdom in the power that we gave to the governor, why our attorney general is nominated, why the governor, you know, gets to pick their cabinet. It's not dictated by the legislature. What was the purpose of the confirmation process? These legislators have zero clue or appreciation for the history and the wisdom that went into those decisions. And in the lack of that understanding, they have manipulated and sold their manipulation to Alaskans as though they know better and they're just genuinely concerned. It's a bunch of crap.
Sadly, yes, it is. And you know, it's very frustrating to see a do-nothing legislature, I mean literally, that then goes out of its way to be divisive and thwart, just on purpose, to embarrass the governor of the state of Alaska. I mean, that's what this is about. And it's just very sad to see that. And it's one side that does it. It's not the we have some Republicans that, you know, on both sides of the Republican aisle that have thwarted the state of Alaska. You know, right now you have Kathy Geisel, Eloise Stutes. Prior, you also had David Eastman. You know, Republicans who wouldn't coalesce with the other Republicans, no matter what. And Governor Dunleavy, when he was first elected, David Eastman caused the issue by not voting for Dave Tallarico to be the head of the House and the Speaker of the House. And therefore, they got the, you know, 8 Republicans that went over and joined the Democrats. And that coalition was always against Governor Dunleavy from the very beginning. Out of the 8 years, Governor Dunleavy has only had a coalition of Republicans for 2 years out of 8 years. And so for 6 of the 8 years, nothing's been done.
Yeah, which is why I think that it is incredibly important for the incoming governor. You know, the reality is the incoming governor may very well have to deal with a very similar situation. Okay, now I hope not. I hope that we can get some of these.
Well, if you get ranked choice voting over a few years, that'll dissipate. It really will.
Yeah, no, it absolutely will. But when the new governor swears in December of this year, you know, we're just a few months away now, and, you know, roughly 6 or so, and then when that legislature starts in January, I think the odds are probably that the governor is going to have to deal with a somewhat similar legislature. I hope that I'm wrong on that. I hope that it improves. But 2 things that are key there. The first thing is that's what makes it all that more important that your governor come in with a strong mandate. You don't want a governor who wins by 50.1. You want a governor who can come in and say, you know what? Everybody rallied behind me after that primary, and I'm coming in with a mandate by God to get a job done. The second thing is I think it's incredibly important that that governor set up that super PAC or that independent expenditure not for purposes of their own reelection. Now, they can do that as well, but you need to have a super PAC or an independent expenditure that is for the purposes of going into those districts, getting in on the ground level, talking to the grassroots, and having a conversation about...
Bernadette, let's not be polite. It's not about when you're raising money and going into a district, it's not about having a conversation. It's about taking out a person who should not be there. That needs to happen.
Well, so here's the thing, though. I want to be clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
When we've seen super PACs or independent expenditures go in and say, well, I'm going to go, you know, replace a candidate, that's typically because that action is happening in an election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what Governor DeSantis did in Florida, when they took Florida from a swing state to a solidly red state, that super PAC and that independent expenditure was working outside of the election cycle to go in and help create and encourage, let's say encourage, okay? Encourage legislators to take the appropriate vote. That needs to happen here. We have not done that here. We've seen that tactic used in other Republican states as a way to, again, encourage, God forbid I say strong arm, somebody will freak out, not the role of the governor. The governor needs to come in and lead on that. But that is an important component that we have been missing in the political conversation here in Alaska. We come in election season, and then we go into districts and we start talking, we causing hell. That needs to be a continual messaging effort around the clock. We need to be forcing and driving the conversation and changing the narrative, what we call the Overton window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shifting that Overton window to where it needs to be. Those 2 things are going to be very, very important for an incoming governor. We've got to have the creativity to do it. We need to have the will, and you got to have the backbone to do it.
Bernadette, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay? Fairbanks, we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
May is Better Hearing Month, and the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center is celebrating by partnering with Summit Coffee Company. Every day in May, we're picking up the tab for four lucky customers. Locate our special sticker on your hot drink to easily scan the QR code to win even more. Snap a photo of your cup and tag and follow Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center on Facebook, and you'll be entered to win a pair of AirPods. Celebrate Better Hearing Month with a treat from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Stay connected at fairbankshearing.com.
This Memorial Day, fire up the flavor and the grill at Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. Kick off summer with premium, juicy steaks and savory house-made sausages that will turn any cookout into the barbecue of the season. And from everyone at Tommy G's, thank you to those who have served and those who continue to serve. Honoring you this Memorial Day. Tommy G's Meat and Sausage, where summer starts at the grill.
Are you a foster, adoptive, guardianship, or kinship caregiver in Alaska? The Alaska Center for Resource Families is here for you. Whether you're just getting started or need post-adoption support, this statewide resource offers free training, expert guidance, and community of Alaska caregivers. You'll find help with foster parent licensing, ongoing training, and resources for Alaska Native youth and families. Visit acrf.org to learn more. That's acrf.org. Supporting families so every child can thrive.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 62 today. Under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows level off around 41. Highs around 65 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 66. 63 Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor, state of Alaska, on the air with me. Now, Bernadette, we're coming up to about the 1st of June, and that's an important date for all the candidates because they have to have a lieutenant governor candidate chosen to run with them. But when you first started, you had your candidate. Now, you know, now we've seen a few starting to fall, but there's still a lot more out there that people need to, you know, get a lieutenant governor candidate for.
Yeah, you know, I had a lieutenant governor candidate picked out before I even announced, and that was done very deliberately because of this.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched, you know, you look at our here in Alaska. Your lieutenant governor is in charge of protecting the state seal and overseeing division of elections as the two primary focuses. I have watched over the years, now it's not to say they can't do other things, but I've watched over the years as lieutenant governors have been incredibly distracted by other things, okay? I'm going to help the governor with the budget. We saw this with Byron Mallott. I'm going to go help the governor out in this district or this piece of legislation. For decades, we have had lieutenant governors who have been distracted by other things because that was where their other interest lie was laying, right? That's where you could find it.
Yeah.
106 voter rolls inflated at 108%. Are you kidding me? We have a lot that we need to do to clean up elections. And so before I got into this race, I had people tell me, Bernadette, don't worry about picking a lieutenant governor right now. You know, you get in the race, pick out a lieutenant governor later. You can find someone, you know, based off the area of the state they live, and maybe they'll have name ID. Maybe they can bring you money. You know, if you gotta win, you know, this area of the state, then you pick a lieutenant governor from that area. And I've seen all of this so-called strategy that's gone on over all the years. I've also watched as lieutenant governors have been chosen because they wanted to run for governor and backroom deals were made. How about I run for governor, you run for lieutenant governor, and then the next time you will be the heir apparent or you can run for Congress. And I was tired of it. I am so fed up with lieutenant governors thinking that this is just going to simply help, you know, they go do 4 years and it will help contribute to their retirement fund because they need extra years of government service, or they can be the heir apparent to the throne, or they actually have an interest somewhere else. I knew from the get-go Senator Mike Schauer, who was known as Mr. Elections, was the guy that could get the job done. And I had people tell me, just get into the race. I said, no, there's no point to me in winning this governor's race unless I can go get the job done. There's no point into me picking a lieutenant governor unless I know that that individual can get the job done, wants to get the job done. And so I sat down with Senator Mike Schauer long before I announced and said, here's the deal, bud. How about we do this? He agreed. We talked for months before I even announced what this would look like, what the plan would be. I am incredibly proud of him and his wife, Michelle. This will be the first time in Alaska where I can tell you, honest to God, we have a lieutenant governor candidate who genuinely, authentically cares about elections. That is his priority. It is not because he's hoping to jump for higher office, and he wasn't chosen because of the area of the state that he lives in or because I thought I needed votes from that area or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's there because we understand the importance of elections. You know, we could talk all day about the gas line and education and, you know, all these different things, right? The permanent fund and taxes, all the other issues we didn't even get to today. But the reality is, if your election system is broken, then it's all for naught. The very foundation of our republic is based off of transparent and timely, accurate elections. And that it is critical that we protect that and we dive in. We do not have clean, transparent elections in Alaska. And for anyone who disagrees with me, for crying out loud, you've got bags of ballots that were found, you know, a bag of ballots that were found on the side of the highway in Anchorage over by Ted Stevens International Airport. In Nick Begich's congressional race in the general in 2024, they had a bag of ballots up at a precinct that they couldn't even figure out how they were going to get them because somebody had taken off to vacation. Well, you know what you do? You put your lieutenant governor on the plane and say, here's the deal, you're getting your butt and you're flying up there to go get them yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So we've got to get this cleaned up. This whole nonsense that the legislature passed about if you apply for a permanent fund dividend, now you're automatically registered to vote, that crap needs to end, okay? So we need to clean that up, and I can promise you this. This administration, the Bernadette and Mike Schauer administration, will most certainly be introducing legislation to stop the automatic voter registration when you simply apply for a permanent fund dividend. We've got to get elections cleaned up. And now you have people who are scrambling for a lieutenant governor. You have some that chose their lieutenant governor based off of, you know, the area of the state they live. And my lieutenant governor is going to help me with this or help me with that. I'm tired of, for me personally, and there may be people that like that. That's fine. If that's your cup of tea, that's your cup of tea. For me personally, I'm tired of lieutenant governors being distracted and not getting the job done. Again, it goes back to that history lesson. We have to go study, why did we make this the primary job of the lieutenant governor? You know why? Because we knew it was a big job. We knew it was a critical job. And now just recently, you know, I say recently, last several decades, we've just kind of dismissed as like, oh, well, that's not so big. We'll pile all these other things onto our lieutenant governor. The only reason it hasn't been that big of a deal is because they've been failing to do the job and it needs to get done. Now you really got people scrambling to simply find a place filler in the last couple weeks. How embarrassing, and what a disgrace to the office of lieutenant governor.
Very much so. Very much so. So what's next for you?
You know, we've been all over the state. I was just in Seward this past week. We had a Saturday not too long ago. This is fun. We were in Valdez in the morning. We were in Glen Allen in the afternoon, and then we did an Anchorage event later in the afternoon, in the evening, I should say. So we hit Valdez, Glen Allen, and Anchorage all on a single Saturday. We were down on the Kenai Peninsula. We did 5 events in 24 hours on the Kenai Peninsula, if you can believe that. Tonight, we are in Anchorage. We've got an event at 6 p.m. if anybody happens to be headed this way. 6 p.m. in Anchorage tonight. We are over at 3720 Belonka Way. So yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday. I saw that.
Thank you. Yes. And then May 13th, so the day before that, was the 1-year anniversary since we announced this campaign for governor. And so tonight we are getting together. We're celebrating with, we're going to do a big birthday party / 1 year anniversary of the campaign. You know, it won't be a big,
the long and winding road.
That's right. It will not be a big campaign pitch tonight, though I'm always happy to answer any policy questions that anyone has. But we'll be over there tonight at 6 p.m., so we're really looking forward to that. We will be in Seward again coming up this week. There are trips planned all over, so I would really encourage people, if they haven't done it already, BernadetteForGovernor.com. You can sign up there to get notices when we will be in your area of the state. And if you're not following us on social media, Bernadette for Governor, we are on Facebook, X, Instagram, Truth Social. And if social media is not your thing, because there's a lot of people who are very incredibly smart and they know better than to get onto social media, we also have a YouTube channel. And all the videos that go up on Facebook also go on our YouTube channel. So Bernadette for Governor on YouTube. And we are constantly, and I mean, it is every day, sometimes it's multiple times a day, we are putting up videos from the different events where I've answered questions about, you know, the sales tax and the drug and psychiatric problem that's plaguing Alaska, questions about the grand jury, questions about trawling. All of those things are up. I mean, radio interviews just like this one. We have clips up all over the place. You can see recaps from our events, so you can see where we've been, who's showing up, and you can see where we're going to be. So it's a really good spot for people to go to the website, to the YouTube, any of the social media channels. It is all out there. I'm an open book and always happy to answer any questions anyone has. So,
fantastic. Hey, I greatly appreciate you being on the air with me. It's time for me to say goodbye and shut this program down. You have a wonderful birthday soiree.
Thank you.
And I would say good luck in your race, but I don't think you need luck to win.
All but by the grace of Almighty God.
So there you go. Bernadette, you have a great day. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And Fairbanks, that is our show. It's going into the weekend. What do you got planned? Guess what? This Saturday, the Tenaya Valley Farmers Market opens up there on College Road, and you can do stuff there. This weekend, I believe, the Salmon Bake is opening up. Hey, you can go there. Go enjoy Pioneer Park. I took a walk this morning at Creamer's Field with my two wonderful canine units who, every morning, they herd me out the door for the walk. I mean, it's so funny. Between 6:15 and 6:30, they're in control, and we had a great, beautiful walk this morning out of Creamer's Field, Creamer's Bird Sanctuary. Go enjoy yourself. We're coming into summer. Coming into our own. It's the middle of May. Before we know it, leaves will be coming out on the trees. Hey, great cleanup. Great cleanup week. Nail it. Enjoy it. You know, we got to sometimes clean up our yards and clean up our streets, and we do that. We're Fairbanksons. But enjoy the weekend, and get out there and be good. We'll see you on Monday. On Monday, I've got a tape broadcast with Senator Sullivan. So, anyway, you have a great day. I'll talk to you later.